Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hey, what's going on, Archons? Welcome to another episode of Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. I'm your KeyForge friends, and I also have one of the OG KeyForge friends here. Today, joining me on the 201st episode is the Wheeling KeyForger, Rick. Rick, what is going on, buddy?
Hey, man, how you doing? I'm back, everybody.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. We definitely needed to have you right after we did the 200th episode. That one was impromptu, actually. Originally, the episode, believe it or not, was about Zach, and then it just so happened that we had scheduled Zach to be with us on the 200th episode, and then we had to pivot, and we're just like, okay, how can we make this all work? And that's how that episode came to be. But it was originally an episode with Zach.
I kind of figured that. I was like, when I read the article or the title, I was like, wait, 200 already? Wait. And then I listened to it and I'm like, okay, it was probably something else, but had to pivot because it was number 200. Here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say it had me tearing up quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. All the memories and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Some great memories.
Definitely good tearing up, but it was tearing up.
You have always been a huge part of this, and you still are. I love having you as an ambassador in the Discord for us and in other places. It's really fantastic, and something that you're always going to be a part of, and it's great to have you back again in the audio side of things so that we can have a little discussion about some stuff. First and foremost, let's talk about the article that just dropped. So for those of you who do not know, the other day, on May 31st to be precise, we had an article drop about Master Vault updates. And I'd have to say, in terms of news that has kind of come out since Ghost Galaxy took over, this might actually be the most significant news because it's creating such a significant change to how we are going to be doing things and what we can do moving forward. So the main things that happened was that there is a new deck ownership concept that is being introduced within the Master Vault. And it outlines what the advantages are, which we'll go into. And then the fact that there will also be an Alliance deck builder within the Master Vault, which did not exist before. There is a confirmation that Digital Ember will now exist under the term Ember, where previously known as Ember Shards, and that you can have friends within your own Master Vault, and there are people that you're essentially allowing to borrow or use decks that you own for various reasons, and you're essentially giving them permission as a result. So that's really cool. And then event keys is the last one that I think stirred up a little bit of controversy, and people were wondering about that because they basically put a monetary value on Ember, which had never existed before. So let's dive into this a little bit before we get into our main topic, because actually I guess we have two main topics this week, wouldn't you say, Rick? Because this is going to be a little bit of a meaty conversation.
I would absolutely say that is the case in this situation.
Yes. So let's just go from the top down. So deck ownership. The biggest thing that is quite interesting is you have to scan all your decks again. There's basically going to be legacy decks, which is the decks you had scanned in prior. So we're going to call it the FFG scans. And then there's now the Ghost Galaxy scans we're going to be doing. And I know for a lot of people that could be a Herculean task to think about. For myself, I've decided that I'm going to be using DOK as like the all-encompassing, and I'm going to now keep my Ghost Galaxy Master Vault as a much more concise catalog of my decks, of the ones that I'm truly interested in and want to play from the past, and then anything new obviously be brought into that. Rick, what are you looking to do in terms of this new undertaking of having to scan everything? Are you going to scan everything, or are you going to more look to do it in a different manner?
I really don't know quite yet how I'm going to do this. I'm looking forward to this because I've needed for so long to organize my collection. I am nearing 700 decks. So this is going to give me a purpose and a reason to get down to brass tacks when I have actual people to here to help me due to just my disability and whatnot. So once everything gets in its place, I will be able to do that, and it'll be a great weight lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Yeah, it's the thought of everything you have, and I'm in the same range as you. It's a lot, and I also have two DOK accounts because I had one just for French Age of Ascension. And now I'm kind of in a position where they're going to all come together on the new Master Vault, and I got to figure out what's going on. So that is, it is going to be a thing. It's interesting that the scanning these for ownership, a purpose for it is that tournament requirement is ownership, and so it says specifically at official Keyforge tournament, starting with the upcoming Vault Tour, participants will need to either own the play deck or the play decks will need to be owned by one or more friends. So the play style tournament software we'll be using will check for ownership or friend connection for decks. So that's a really important part of deck ownership coming forward. Now, I think the exciting thing of ownership and the way they really have sold this, where you want to be scanning your decks and showing ownership, is through the advantage part of the article. And one of the things here is you can get deck copies. So I love this because I actually have a deck that I think is potentially quite unique and has some cool things. And there's a pod that I really like, but I'm missing one card and I can't find it. I have no idea where it is, which makes the whole deck moot. But if I really wanted to use it, we can now get copies of decks that are important. So things that are you could perceive as being valuable and you think you're going to get a lot of play with, you can get a copy so that you can put in your own vault that that deck you want to save, or you can actually just get a copy because you don't want to play with another deck, you want to keep them mint. So I think that's really interesting. Obviously the cost of creating these could be prohibitive of going too overboard with it, and we don't yet know the turnaround time for submitting these and getting it. Rick, what were your thoughts when you heard that you could get copies made of decks?
It actually rejuvenated a couple of decks that I think are unplayable because of one card missing. Like, I can't remember what deck it is exactly, but I remember there was a Word of Returning that went missing. And that was the first deck that I had found Word of Returning in, even though it was a Coda card. I didn't see it until Worlds Collide.
Got you.
So I was really upset when that card went missing.
Yeah, fair enough. I can get that. And I guess the only thing that will be determined is the cost versus getting that replaced. Like, is it worthwhile? How often are you going to play that deck? Are you going to use it in Alliance? Things like that need to be kind of addressed and seen what the logistics of making that happen is. Because obviously you have shipping, you have the cost of the deck, so it's gonna be interesting. Next up, we have translated copies. So translated copies, I honestly think this is probably the most exciting part of the entire article. The fact that they are going to be letting you request a version of a deck that is not in your own language to be printed, and you want it in English so that you can read it more effectively. That is pretty cool. And it even says they're going to have custom borders. Like, it's going to be their own special border and text to indicate that they are translated copies. And they'll be allowed in tournaments. So I think for making tournaments more streamlined and available is quite neat. What were your thoughts when you heard this, Rick? Because I can imagine you were excited.
When I heard that, I instantly thought of the three decks that we each have that Alex gave us from Italy.
Yes.
And I'm like, ooh, I can actually play these now. because I've played my Coda one often, and it's actually pretty spicy.
Nice, yeah. So now we can get versions
of those. Now we can actually bring them to local.
Yep, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then they also made a basically a rule for foreign language decks in tournaments as a result of this now existing, which is quite interesting. And that was that English will always be allowed, and then as well as the official language of where the tournament is located. So that's quite interesting, and they're going to do more information in a future announcement in regards to that. Now, here's the part of the article that got some people feeling some kind of way, and I know, Rick, you fell into this, was the theft mitigation of this. So basically, they said that the deck ownership should discourage deck theft, because even if a deck would be stolen, it would never be allowed to be played in any official tournaments because of that. And deck ownership in the Master Vault must be transferred to someone else. So then you can say you don't have the deck, it was stolen, you can report it, and then you can get a copy for yourself done, so you can still play the deck. You just don't have the original copy. So it's still basically tournament allowed in that regard, but no one else can have any use of the deck. So that's really what happened. And I don't think there is, I haven't really heard of any instances of theft mitigation, but I think as the game grows and more people come into it and more notoriety maybe for a deck could exist, that could maybe make people think about stealing decks. But the fact that they're unique, I think alone is prohibitive. And now with this, I just don't think it's going to be an issue at all. I think people will lose decks more so than decks being stolen. And I think lost decks either being forgotten or something may be chalked up to being stolen, just because sometimes that's the way people think when they can't find something. But aside from that, I think this is really good. Rick, now that I've explained this in a little bit more detail, what are your thoughts? Because I know you had some trepidation before we got into this.
Yeah, I was a little bit... I was a little bit worried because of all the worry that I had seen on Twitter. But yeah, I feel good, because there was a time back when I played Magic that I thought that somebody had stolen a very good deck that I liked. Come to find out that 3 or 4 months later down the road, I found it in my apartment. I felt like total crap for assuming that it was stolen. But yeah, so I'm glad that this is going to be there so that that can't happen. And also, I'm just glad that it's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, even if it could happen, you still will not have lost the deck. That's at the end of the day, you'll never have lost a deck once it's scanned as you as the owner. And they call it theft mitigation. So they're trying to stop the idea of theft even existing and making it prohibitive of having any use of a deck that's stolen. So that is really good in that way. And I'm excited for that. And they also said there's going to be more benefits and services to deck owners in the future, which they're going to announce later on. Alliance Deck Builder, that's the next one we have. So being able to put them together in the Master Vault, I think, is going to be really good. And obviously, this probably has a tournament application, since you probably have something you can scan or show within the tournament system. I'm kind of hoping that when you do copies of decks, that they're going to allow you to print a copy of an alliance deck that you want, so that you can have a copy of everything together instead of having to pull things apart. That would be the most ideal. So I'm hoping that's a possibility. Rick, what's your experience with Alliance so far? Have you been diving into it at all?
I actually have not dove into it at all, because I don't really like the aspect of deck building. I can't deck build. My brain just won't go there. If I had somebody that could take my decks and deck build for me, I would play it. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Well, I think that's a call to people out there. If you want to help Rick build a deck and you got some Alliance brews, reach out to Rick. I know I'm willing to help you with that, because I've been going into it and it's a lot of fun. So,
because I went before the requirements all came out and restrictions, I built some just for fun, and they're on DOK and on the Master Vault, but with the restrictions, I can't play the ones that I built, so I have to rebuild them.
Yeah, well, hey, if you want some help, I'm more
than willing to help. And I'm a little bit confused with the restrictions as to if you have something that's on the restricted list, you can't have anything else that's on the restricted list. Is that how I'm...
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
That I find a little bit too restrictive, but that's just me.
I mean, I'm guessing you're building a Worlds Collide deck.
I would want to, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I found the same thing. There are some cards that are very commonly shown together, especially in Star Alliance, that made it prohibitive of me building something I want. Like I had a deck, all my best pods that have Morpheus also had stealth mode. So as a result, I could not even use those pods because they just happened to show up together. It's not like I'm building something together. They just exist together. So that was an unfortunate thing for me. But we'll see how things change over time. It's going to constantly be evolving, I think. There'll be probably some staples that never move, but I think other things we'll see rotate in and out or maybe get added.
Yeah. When you said Worlds Collide, I instantly thought of a pod that I would use for Logos, and that is the Legacy Time Traveler that Alex gave me for my birthday 1 year.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. That's a great call, and that's probably a fun pod to start with. Well, hey, sometimes, Rick, that is how you start building an Alliance deck, is you go, I really like this. What can I make work with this? That's literally the best way to start an Alliance.
But with the other restrictions, I don't know what I can put with it now. So that's where I would need somebody like you to come in and say, I can help with that.
And I can, and we will work on that after this, maybe even.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right. So next up, we have Digital Ember, which is they basically just clarified the name change and that it will be granted each time you discover a Keyforge deck for the first time in the Master Vault. So same as before in that regard. And then the friends, you can add friends. We've kind of gone over this. You can share your deck with a friend, go to the friends section and enter your friend's username in the primary field. And it'll be allowing, this will basically be a teams thing. And then it's just going to be your friends will probably grow as you utilize it in regards for sharing decks. I don't know if you'd want to just have it like a social media thing where anyone you know who you like is a friend, because that may make it so that they have access to things that you own. It may be best to just do it people who you are planning on being like teammates and friends who are going to use it, I think is probably a really good way of looking at it. But I mean, maybe you do want to have it as a social aspect. There may be benefits to that in the future.
Well, I'm on both sides of the coin here, because I don't want my stuff to be too used, because then my brain just will have a tendency to think, okay, it's too well known now I can't play it locally. But also, I watch Crit Camp a lot. They were the first Keyforge stream that I found when I was learning the game. And one of the streamers, Chris, has a Swiss deck that his buddy Lyle brought back when he was in Switzerland for work that I actually want to have. So having Chris on my friends list would maybe allow me to play that deck.
Yeah, I mean, basically how it works is if you're going to a tournament, you are allowed to borrow a friend's deck. So there's really no reason to add people as friends unless you're planning on sharing decks. That is like the sole purpose for it. So if you're not planning on sharing your decks with anyone or borrowing decks from someone, you really don't need to make them as friends. There's no actual core benefit within the rules of the game. That is, I think, the reason what it was created for at this present time. New things may come up. But at
the I think time, ABR will be great. Another good thing for the friends list.
Well, it's you don't need it for ABR because there's no reason why you can't play someone else's deck.
That's it's more true
in
too,
an official tournament capacity. It's all down to the ownership side. So if you don't own the deck, but you people lend other people decks to play in tournaments, this is where you would have to basically, it's like as a friend, it's like I'm allowing a friend to use my deck in this tournament. because I'm the one who owns it. But because they're my friend, they're granted access and permission to use it. That's kind of how it works. But in the digital realm or in anywhere casual, you can. But maybe not in the local scene. We'll see how that works for any game or if it's just for big tournaments.
Yeah.
And moving on to event keys that are talked about here. So the event keys, this is where people got a little bit up in arms because there was able to purchase Ember at a cost of $5 per 10 Ember. So now there is an actual value on Ember, which is interesting. And some people felt some kind of way because that tells you, I guess, something about how it works.
This part, actually, I didn't get to reading. Until
So
I just brought it up now.
What they're using is that you must use some of your Ember as a means to participate in a tournament. So that basically means 50 Ember is equated to 50 decks being scanned, which is kind of interesting. But I imagine that you generate Ember for going to weekly events and local events as well as other tournaments.
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced that yet, but that I would imagine that's the case because just coming from either purchasing it that way or from scanning decks doesn't seem very cost effective. So that is the one thing that I think we'll see announced in further detail soon once they start talking about the local scene that they're offering. But in the meantime, yes, there is a cost in the form of Ember. Formerly known as Ember Shards to enter, and that is 50 because then you get an event key. So they show a picture here of how you can buy Ember, or it shows you your Ember tally, and then you can just click unlock event key, which then puts one event key and reduces your Ember by 50. Now, the nice thing is to kick this off is everyone gets a free event key just for registering on the new Master Vault owned by Ghost Galaxy by June 30th. Of this year. So that is one thing to know. And then lastly, they finish things off by saying June 5th. So this, the day this episode drops, you should be able to start scanning your Winds of Exchange decks. And with that piece of information, Rick, let's go on to the next part of this episode, which is the thing you and I are waiting for the most, which is Winds of
Exchange. Absolutely.
So here we are in Canada where I think it looks like the U.S. fulfillment is happening first and then other areas of the world will be next. I don't know the exact plan in terms of logistically shipping out. I would assume
what I heard follows. What I heard was Canada got a little bit delayed because we're waiting on the French. They're shipping both together. That's what I heard. I don't know what's true, but that's the reason that I heard.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I could see them maybe just fulfilling all English and then doing, because they said they were going to do English first and then foreign language. So we'll see what happens.
Gotcha.
But yeah, you may be right. They may be delaying to do all of that in one go. So we'll have to see. But I imagine if they're just waiting on that, they would just want to fulfill as much as they can in the meantime, or at least that's what I'm hoping. But Rick, in the meantime, what are you most excited about? Like, what do you wanting the most from your GameFound pledge, and that's having you just become the most impatient person like myself?
Oh, I'm impatient at the best of times anyways. So yes, I'm very impatient right now. I'm loving the idea of, but I want to get my hands on the Unchained. I want there when we get store support, I want to be able to buy more Unchained decks.
Okay, interesting. So what is it about Unchained decks that makes you the most excited? Is it the possibility of more time travelers in unique ways?
Yeah, I just, all the time travelers, all the interactions, all the time.
Amazing, okay, I love it. Is there anything else about Unchained that really makes you want to have that more so than anything else that's coming in your GameFound pledge?
I love the wacky and zany and amazing interactions that can be found.
Okay, fair enough.
That haven't even really been thought about.
Okay, I like it. For me, I think the thing that I'm most excited for is the aside from having a new set to dive into and to open and create content for, it's the I saved Keyforge decks, the savior of Keyforge, I guess, decks that have that.
I wasn't sure if the 151, if the 150 level had them or not. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so then yes, that's also something that I'm looking forward to, but I wasn't sure that I'd be getting one.
Yep, you will. I think everyone gets one. It was a stretch goal, I think.
Okay, perfect.
So yes, you will get that, and I think they look so cool and are just something. I'm hoping it's a good deck because I'm gonna want to play it all the time just to show it off because it looks so awesome. But we'll have to see. With Keyforge, you never know how the cookie crumbles at the end of the day.
I'm actually looking forward to my name deck for that same reason. I want to show it off. Oh, so yeah. I'm hoping it's a good one.
Yes, I'm with you there. That is a very good point. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun to get to have as well. What other things do you care about the Grim Reminder spoilers coming or not so much?
I do and I don't, because I mean, I know so many people are trying to avoid spoilers. So I don't want to post them, but I also don't want to have to wait until the next set to actually reveal them. So I'm kind of at
just keep it for yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure what to do with them, so I'm kind of like meh on them.
Yeah, but fair enough.
They will be cool to look at. A buddy of mine whose podcast stream that I watch, he got his shipment the other day and he did a stream of unboxing. Oh, nice. So
oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to be able to stream some stuff with this. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and just to get to play. We'll definitely have to create some backyard.
I miss your streams.
I know, I don't have the time for them right now. Like I wish I could, I just don't have the time. My schedule is
I completely understand your schedule.
Yeah,
it's full.
I'm barely finding time to create content these days. I'm finding these little pockets to do it, but yeah, I would like to do some more streams. They were a lot of fun. I think is there anything else that you're really excited about for the new GameFound pledge heading your way shortly? Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm.
The Savior decks and the Unchained is mostly, and basically just I'm looking forward to Brobnar in this set. I've looked at the spoilers and they look incredible, so I'm just eager to play with them. So, and I'm curious, not necessarily excited, but I'm curious how Mars will be.
Yeah, I think Mars and Brobnar I'm the most excited for. Mars, because we've never really had some solid Mars, you know, like that's, I was thinking about that today, how out of every set, it's like Sanctum. I feel like Sanctum and Mars and to an extent Brobnar have never really had their heyday where they've had like a really good set. Like you had the Martian Generosity Key Abduction, but aside from that, like the Mars wasn't particularly doing it for me. Like I wasn't like, oh wow, like more often than not it was kind of milk toast. So I'm really looking forward to seeing those houses. I know Sanctum still won't have its heyday. Yeah, I don't know what it is about Sanctum. There's something missing. Like they're never like the cream of the crop. They're never, sometimes they're not bad, but we haven't really seen them have their sort of like Worlds Collide, Saurian Star Alliance feel that we got in that time period.
Yeah, I thought they weren't bad in Coda, but they haven't been great yet.
No, I think Mass Mutation was my favorite iteration, or Dark Tidings. I can't tell. Those two I feel like had some, like maybe Dark Tidings Sanctum had some really cool stuff, but nothing that really made you like just blow your mind good type of thing. So I'm hoping that we'll see.
I like the MM Sanctum as well. I actually forgot about them in DT, but as Mass Mutation and Coda are my two favorite sets, then yeah, I take note of what's in those sets.
Yeah, fair. So yeah, let's. I want to see Mars though. Like Mars, really, I think was here and gone so quickly that it's time to see them shine. And I've heard some interesting things, and I actually have two WoW decks that Sydney sent to me, and they both had Mars, and I thought the Mars was pretty. Some of the stuff I saw, I was like, okay, this is neat. So I'm excited for that. Now, of course, we cannot end an episode without our titular segment,
Help from Future Self.
All right, so this week I have a Help from Future Self for us, and it has to do with, I guess, the fact that now with the new Master Vault being released, it's made me think about my collection differently. We've gotten to a point where we've had so many things come together, and so many new things are going to be released, and we have so many decks from the past, and it's really made me think about evaluating my collection. I know I've spoken on this before, especially I think on my YouTube, but I started creating the decks that I like the most, and I think that having a more concise collection of decks that I want to play, and especially for me trying to find time to enjoy Keyforge, I've found that this is going to be a good opportunity to really dive into that and solidify what that is. Oddly enough, I have some decks that I purchased on the secondary market that I really love playing, and they're not amazing, but I really want to play them all the time because of what they do. So I'm very excited that occurred, because I didn't think that decks from the secondary market I would enjoy as much. And then obviously my Alliance builds, I'm going to want to be putting into there and having them existing in the Master Vault form. So basically my Help from Future Self is, it's time to do some spring cleaning, even though we're basically out of spring, but some spring cleaning of the Keyforge Master Vault, and really take this opportunity to decide what's important within your collection and have it there. And then from that moment, you have a nice basis to build off of and keep things clean. I think I will continue to use DOK as my all-encompassing, just for the sake of the searching specific cards and things that exist together. They'll be much more helpful in that regard. So that's why I'm going to approach this. And if that is of any useless thought to other people who are maybe thinking, oh my goodness, I got to scan all my decks again, hopefully that provided some solace for you. Now, without further ado, let's wrap this episode up. It's been great, Rick, having you back on and getting to chat Keyforge with you. If people want to reach out to you, how can they do so?
I am on Twitter at The Wheeling Keyforger and on TCO at Richter78.
Perfect. And you can find me on Discord is best, as well as in our Discord channel. It's a Boulevard Blake number sign 3840. That's BLVD Blake number sign 3840. You can also find my YouTube under Boulevard Blake HFFS. Please go check out my content there. Any liking, subscribing, support, just watching is greatly appreciated. And I just want to say we really appreciate the entries for our contest that we have going on right now, the 200th episode contest. Which you can email us at hffspodcast@gmail.com if you have not entered already. Sydney and I were really blown away with some of the responses we've gotten, and they really touched us. They were really beautiful and made us really appreciate what we're doing, and we didn't realize how much people appreciate what we do. So thank you to everyone who has been submitting, and if you have not, please do so. We are giving away some special decks from the Gamefound pledge, as well as some other prizing potentially. We're definitely going to be doing a draw. So for anyone who sends us an email, they will get an entry to an overall raffle. And then when you tell us what your favorite episode is, or what's your favorite thing about the Help from Future Self podcast, the responses that we like the best could be entered in a draw, or the best response we got that we felt could be getting a prize in itself. We have a few prizes to give away. Sydney was kind enough to create that. So yeah, please do send your entries and let us know. Again, that's hffspodcast@gmail.com. That's hffspodcast@gmail.com. And that's going to do it for this week. And until next time, folks, stay forging.